So, to questions and answers.
I assume you agree with almost everything, but there might be some details. Please.
Well,
can you?
It's really a unique opportunity and honor to me to attend this. And, I'm from Sudan. And you know what is developing in Sudan recently. Now we have become two countries after the referendum. And you know that region, the Horn of Africa and East Africa. And well, there is again the feeling that the pride is being touched in that region. Darfur, of course, is there. And now we have a country which, in fact, the major actor in the place is the United States of America. And again, we feel, I mean, the Sudanese people and all the people in the region, including Africans, are pulling their hair and saying that you got it wrong. All the arrangement which is going on is leading us. If you look at Chad, Central Africa, Uganda with the Lord army, and even within the Sudan itself now, the people who are carrying the guns, with the diminishing role of the central government in the north, we think that we have a formula of catastrophe in that region. I want you to reflect a little bit on that.
I'm very happy you asked the question. Let me try to give what the transcend position is after our Methodist dialogue with everybody, trying to find out what I want, and then trying to combine legitimate goals in some feasible reality. So I imagine myself in a helicopter high up, and the first thing I see is a Chinese-US struggle. And in the speech I gave about the proposal, I said, you Africans know very well the proverb that when elephants fight, the grass suffers. But you also know that when elephants make love, the grass also suffers. Now, one conclusion from this is keep elephants out, both of them. And you have oil. Refine it yourself. Don't ever sell crude oil. Now, point two. The helicopter comes a little bit lower down, and you notice border conflicts to all eight surrounding countries. We can go through the counting together. I mean, you know, Egypt, Chad, Eritrea, Ethiopia, and Uganda, and so on. You mentioned some of them. A Northeast African community for security and cooperation. So it will be the Turkish game of trying to establish good relations to all of them. Not to dominate them, but good relations. Together it would be a fantastic part of the world, inside the African Union. But the African Union is so big that it can have some sub-unions inside it. Point three, the helicopter comes lower down. I am not happy about the division into countries. I don't believe in it. I believe in a loose federation of four or five parts, where the northeastern part, quite white, quite Arab, quite Islamic, have to learn that they are one of four or five parts. And they have absolutely no right to think that we are the model for the others. You reduce the power of Khartoum. Khartoum is a little bit similar to the Kabul I mentioned from Afghanistan. Now, I can say much more about this, but I just go to the final point. The helicopter comes down and lands in Darfur. You may correct me on this, but the impression I have was that Darfur some time ago was based on perhaps the most successful formula for land ownership the world knows. Public ownership, private use. It belongs to the collectivity, but it's private use if you use it well. If you use it badly, and there will be some monitoring, you may be deprived of that right. Now, this is what made Paraguay extremely rich in the 19th century. So rich that the surrounding countries, led by Britain, went to war against them. It's a fantastic formula. It is neither the public ownership of the Soviet Union nor the private ownership of capitalism, but a very ingenious combination. You know how Khartoum decided that that was traditional because they were interested in the oil under that land, creating an enormous amount of nomads. I would change that. So, there you have at least some perspectives. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is more, yes, more about Sudan than you expected to hear tonight.
Yes. It sounds kind of selfish because it's all about us all the time, I know, but let's say that we become irrelevant in the rest of the world, but we're still relevant to ourselves.
Exactly.
Were we to regroup internally and sort of not be distracted by intervening all over the world, how do you think the American public, which we're told is so angry at our own government right now, it sees government as too big, or some people see corporations as too big, how do you think it would all break down and break up and re-come together given our nature as a people?
In the book, The Fall of the US Empire, and then what, there are two subtitles. The international subtitle is Successor, Regionalism or Globalization? Regionalization or Globalization? And my answer is regionalization. And one region might be Mexuscan. Half a billion, a fantastic place. Today, 1 million Americans stretch their pensions by living in Mexico.
Yeah.
Quite interesting. You once had, here I almost sound Californian, you once had prohibition against alcohol. When that was repealed, people didn't start drinking alcohol, but the killing disappeared. It's an argument. And you have a separate program, and that is more intense efforts to understand why so many Americans become drug addicts. But I leave that aside. Now, the second subtitle is U.S. Blossoming or U.S. Fascism. I don't know. Where I hope is obvious. And when I write a book and I don't know, I put into the words of two women. And the optimist is Pollyanna. And the pessimist is Cassandra. So as a man, I can say, listen to these women. It's just women's chatter, you know, blabber, but listen to them. And Cassandra says, I would not be surprised by a right-wing coup of evangelicals in the name of Christianity to save Christianity. And one of the last actions of George W. was to appoint a lot of evangelicals and generals in Pentagon. That's less known to the public. Pollyanna says, you underestimate the strength of the American people, the generosity, the capacity for cooperation, for innovation. And I, of course, am on the side of Pollyanna. I would then say, if I were an American, I would put much less emphasis on elections to Congress. I'm not even sure I would vote. I would see it as a part of the military-industrial complex. I would work locally. I would work at the state level, at the municipal level. And you do a lot of that, and much can be done. And I would go for the most cooperative. And in those places, I would promote agricultural cooperatives with sales points directed to people at the cheapest possible price. I would promote savings bank and boycott investment banks. I would mobilize people to build polyclinics where they are not present. And I would organize alternative health systems. You now have a health insurance reform and no health care reform. And what will happen will of course be that the prices will go up immensely because everybody will say the state will pay. They will blame the state and at the same time suck it and milk it. Mm-hmm. And these two things go very well together, as you know. Now that system is not serving the American people. What could serve the American people would be a more healthy life. It would be more healthy food. It would be a lifestyle where retirement is forbidden. And that fascist crime against people above 65, namely from now on you shall retire, is sent where it belongs, namely to Nuremberg as a crime against humanity. It's where it belongs. You make use of the wisdom of older people. You know fairly well that they may be physically not at their best. You take that into consideration. You mobilize the genders equally, the generations equally. Americans would be very good at this kind of thing. So I see it as a possibility. What I hear, however, is to try to collect money for one more Democratic congressman. That people can imagine believing in that party is to me almost unbelievable in itself. After you've had the Clinton betrayal followed by the Obama betrayal, and you're going to elect one more so you can have the third betrayal, sounds to me very, very wrong. But at the local level, Americans are able to do miracles. I would have other models of enterprises. Instead of the vertical model with a board of trustees, chief executive officer and so on, I would have a horizontal dialogical model where environment would be in it with spokespersons and the community would be in it. And I would like 10,000 such small enterprises grow. And I would combine it with a relatively well organized boycott of the bigger enterprises. I would analyze the structure of any company. And the more vertical it is, the more minuses will it get. And make that known. Now, organizations have been doing that for some time. It exists. It should be strengthened. In short, I see enormous possibilities at the same time as I see that opening to Canada and Mexico. You see, I am 80. I've lived 11 of my years in this country. And I used to say I love the US Republic and hate the empire. You get it?
Yeah.
Has to be said with American accent.
I have a major concern about the Islamic and Christianity giving our government more and more excuses to do all the things they do. And is this going to continue? If I get a strong feeling, Tea Party example, that this is a threat. As a secular humanist, I'm very, very worried.
You have all reasons to be. When these people exist, they are real people and you should have dialogue with them. The best dialogue I know about was in 1983 when the American Catholic Church and the United Methodist Church produced two small booklets against nuclear arms. And one of them was the Catholic Archbishop of Oakland. Beautiful books. In other words, they would go straight into the theology. And I would ask them, what kind of God do you think he is? Do you think he really is one who helped you design weapons to make people disappear into nuclearized smithereens? And that Archbishop from Oakland says, he's a God of love, and that's the God I believe in. I think you have to go straight into the theology of it. You have another debate, which is secularism against religion. But the debate inside Christianity may actually be more interesting. Now, you see, my problem with secularism is its anti-spiritualism. Well, not necessarily, but it has a tendency to throw babies out with the dishwater. In the book lying over there called Globalizing God, there is an effort to say, if we pick the best from all religions and we leave out God and revelation, creation and revelation, we find an enormous amount of things. In other words, I want a secularism that is not afraid to touch and ally itself with religious wisdom. So there you have debates, and those debates should be kept alive. In the meantime, I will boycott investment banks. I will boycott anybody who does not boycott Goldman and Sachs. And I think what happened in Madison, Wisconsin today, watch it. It is probably important. It has its ambiguities, but most things do.
Let me just see how many people have questions.
No, I am the problem, not the people.
No, no, but we also have to get ready for breakfast tomorrow morning. So
breakfast, yeah.
I think we have three more questions. We'll go one, two, three, then we'll formally call it a night. Thank you. Go ahead.
I really liked what you said about combining religion in working with that as opposed to fighting it. But I also wanted to know what your opinion was on the internet. I've heard you mention a lot about nations and people coming together in their physical locations, but I want to know where you possibly think that the coming together of people is going to go with the internet and the fact that I can communicate anyone all over the world, and anyone all over the world can see this right now if we have it on the internet.
Well, I bless the internet. A friend of mine, a Swiss friend of mine, and I, we founded Transcend, a network for peace, environment, and development. And due to the internet, we can do it, practically speaking, for nothing. We have 510 members right now, and we can organize mediation teams in 5 minutes due to internet. I just find it fantastic. But I would like to say that people were able to make revolutions before the internet. I mean, they made some revolution in France, for instance, without Twitter and Facebook. It was a Russian one without Twitter and Facebook. It was even an American one without Twitter and Facebook. And there was a committee of correspondents, though, which should not be underestimated. And there were some pretty skilled horseback people. Some of them are very famous. So having said that, communication can operate without the internet, by word of mouth, by everybody telling 5 others. It can be done, and it was done, and it has been done. I bless it, but I don't see it as indispensable.
I'm from Republic of Georgia. I was going to say Georgia,
The Republic of Georgia.
Republic.
So not the state.
The other, yeah,
not
yeah.
The state. The Tbilisi thing, not the Atlanta thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I'm a graduate student here at Monterey Institute. It was a big group of us. But my question is not actually related to the U.S., but what do you think long-term implications of Russia's actions in Chechnya? And how do you think that's going to
Moscow lost the Soviet Union and is clinging to Russia desperately. And right now the chances of Chechenian autonomy is about the same as Hawaiian autonomy and Alaskan autonomy. The tricks that were used by the US, the Marines in 1893, the annexation in 1898, the statehood from 1950, were less brutal than the Russian. But the goal was the same, aggrandizement. Now, the world today has about 200 states and 2,000 nations. There are 20 non-Russian nations in Russia. Sooner or later, they will get their place in the sun. And it will not be unrelated to Georgia. I think Abkhazia, South Ossetia, possibly also Qajar, Either you make it a very loose federation, and it will not be in your power in the long run to deny them self-determination, and you know perfectly well where they will go. Now, if you do that, it might serve as a model for Russia. You might help North Ossetia, Dagestan, Chechnya, Inuit. I've been working very much in that area. That was one of our first missions from Transcend. And we don't call it Transcaucasia because that is when you look at it from Moscow, it looks like Transcaucasia. No. You call it Caucasus. And our formula is to eke out at Krasnimost, you know, the point where the three countries meet, a couple of square kilometers for federal buildings of a Caucasian Federation. And where Armenia has to shrink considerably its conquest in Nagorno-Karabakh. But the balance with Nagorno-Karabakh to the south is relatively ingenious, came from a countryman of yours called Josip Djugashvili, if I'm not wrong, also known as Stalin. So he's one of your compatriots. You don't have to take on collective responsibility. But you know, like all people, you also find something good they did. And there was something in that formula which was relatively ingenious, but it had as a condition that the Red Army was sitting on top of it. With that army gone, went it. So I've given you some indications. You will know that the Georgian councillor who was drunk and killed a person in Washington in drunk driving was my negotiation party for all of this. And the fact that he was imprisoned in the US is now used by Pakistan to keep Mr. Davis in prison. So there's a nemesis in history, you see. He was a very nice person, very gifted politically, but an alcoholic.
Right. People of goodwill, I'm curious for your definition, and I see people in this room of goodwill. I see them all over Santa Cruz. People who are not rapaciously greedy in the American and Western capitalist way, and people who are also not guided, entirely dominated in their thinking by narrow religious orthodoxy, Christian, Judaic, Islamic in particular. And surely there are people of goodwill across this planet. I'm sure you've met thousands. I consider you one. But we have a circumstance here where we have a planet with limited resources, limited water, limited energy, and we have a population of 7 billion, approaching 9 billion. It was not designed. It isn't structured naturally as a function of normal geological processes to support. We will enter a point where we will have poisoned or depleted the livability for our species. What do we people of goodwill, and I'm so frustrated that people of informed goodwill, environmental matters, nuclear issues, and by the way, my background includes being in the White House science office looking at these things 10 years ago or more. The tragedy that we don't have leadership in Obama, as you mentioned, about the economic realities of this country, the imperial realities and the ecological realities of the planet. What should we people do of goodwill, and why aren't you more effective? And I don't mean that as a criticism. Why are not you and people of goodwill and integrity with wisdom more effective, sir, at convincing more of our government?
Well, have a look at the book over there called 50 Years, 100 Mediations. We are quite effective. We have had Transcend more successes than most foreign offices. One reason being that we have no funds. And we have no bombs. If you can offer a carpet of gold and a carpet of bombs to talk Washingtonese, then you think you can do without ideas. We have only one thing to offer, good ideas. We made peace between Ecuador and Peru. We played a major role at the end of the Cold War. We mediated between Denmark and the Muslim clerics. We've been everywhere. So that this is not known has something to do with the structure of the media. But it's not because, you see, we are not mainstream. It's more because media hate good news.
Yes.
They hate it. And why do they do that? Well, I have been asking that question for at least 50 years, and I have one answer, which is not necessarily the only answer, because of Aristotle. Aristotle. So you may ask, what does a Greek philosopher have to do with this? Well, he had a very bad idea. He divided the human drama in two parts, tragedy and comedy. Either it ends badly or it is laughable. Now, muddling through is what the human drama is about. And often we do not do badly. So you mentioned a couple of concrete problems. Yes, we are making too many human beings, more than the carrying capacity. And the family planning, the limitation, will of course start in the countries that pollute and consume most. So the family planning, the one-child policy, would start in the US and the European Union. I'm thinking now of pollution consumption per capita. If you make a couple of less rural Indians, they move through their life without disturbing the planet very much. What is disturbed is their dignity and their lives. So, this could be argued. You do not abolish global warming through multinational conferences, just as little as you would have abolished slavery and colonialism that way. If you have that, you can imagine the slaver sitting there. Yeah, you have very few slaves, I have very many. Could I get some of your quota? Would that be okay? Would you mind giving me some quota? That's what they do. Much more important are positive examples. The more positive examples that come out from California, the better. Right now in Europe, we are stimulated by Denmark and Germany. And very concrete things they do. These are people not only of goodwill, but good brains too, you see. You need a little bit of combination of heart and brain here, to put it that way. I agree with you in every word. I only reacted a little bit when you directed it against us. We are actually doing quite a lot, you see. Quite a lot. We are not the slightest ashamed of it. Not at all. Actually quite proud. The book 50-100, I recommend they will find 100 examples. 25 of them have come out quite successfully. But when we say success, we are very conscious that the success may turn into failure. And when we say failure, it may turn into success. So we prefer to say success, not yet success. And where did I learn that? I learned in College 8, Santa Cruz, when I was visiting professor to all the campuses of UC. And in College 8, I met a professor who had only two grades, pass, not yet pass. That's the Santa Cruz genius at work. It has been with me ever since. So I'm a Santa Cruzian by spirit, if not by birth.
Very good.
Yeah.
You know,